Welcome back to 90 Feet Away. Love seeing you guys here. As I've told you before, this is not just about baseball, softball. This is about people's journeys through life, what has gotten them from point A to point B. And today, we're going to be talking to one of my favorite human beings. This guy is involved in everyone's healthcare, making them better athletes, making them better human beings. Today, I am joined by head strength coach, Coach Demetrius Magdalenos. D, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, dude. I've been looking forward to this. So you and I have been together now for almost 10 years, and you're an anomaly to me. I say this all the time. It's very difficult. You cannot fake passion. You cannot fake caring. So we're going to talk about some of the things that got you to where you are today and really what gets you so amped up to do what you do. But I want people to know who Demetrius was as a child. You grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yep.
You are the head strength coach in a baseball, softball facility, yet you really never played baseball.
I never played baseball, and honestly, I never really liked it. If I'm to be honest, never really liked watching it, but as I've been here, began to learn a little bit more about it. It is a great sport and great athletes.
You didn't like it because my opinion is I think you are a quick thinking, quick twitch, want to run, want to go type of guy. Baseball, you know, you do all this prep work and you do all this training and the game is a slow game.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. The first time I trained a baseball athlete, I was like, why are they taking so much rest between sets? I'm like, we got to go. But
in baseball, right, in baseball it doesn't work that way,
yeah,
right?
No.
We go do our job for 3 outs, and then if you're not up, you get to chill for 10, 15
exactly.
minutes. What did Demetrius Magdalenos do as a kid? What did get you excited, and what did you compete in?
So – as a kid, I played a lot of sports as a kid. I was a football guy. I grew up playing football, hockey. My father was a hockey player. We played a little bit of baseball as a young kid, but football, soccer, hockey, basketball, you name it. I really dedicated myself to football as I got to high school. I was more into physical sports, physical touch, very aggressive as a kid. My mother was very active, so I feel like I get a lot of that activeness from her.
Sure.
She's in phenomenal shape now. She's in her 60s. So I believe that is where my background came from. And I just grew attached to learning about the body as I started to get older.
People don't know this. You have an identical twin brother. I remember the first time I saw George. He walked in the gym, and I literally took a double take. I almost shit my pants. Was George also into the same sports? Like, growing up with a twin, did you guys push each other, or did you do totally separate things? How'd that work?
Absolutely. Like, we were both very – we did everything together, very competitive with each other, and I feel like that's what kind of drove us because we always had somebody to go play catch with, always had somebody to go tackle. So – creating holes in our walls when we were kids. Like, we had to do a lot of renovations growing up. So, yeah, we were very competitive. We played the same sports. I would say I'm a little bit more active than he is. As we got older, he went more towards handiwork, which we both do together. But I stayed along the lines of sports and fitness.
You're talking about now. But through high school, let's say, you both pushed each other and you did the same sports.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any interest in playing any of those sports past high school? Was that an option for you?
It really wasn't an option for me because I was not into those things. I didn't really have guidance like that. At the age during high school, I didn't have a trainer. I didn't know much about that. I just wanted to go out there and hit people. So throughout my high school football career, yeah, it was nice to potentially go play college. I just didn't see that in my cards. So I ended up going to play at a junior college for one semester, dropped out because I didn't go to class. So I wasn't into that. I didn't have the right type of guidance. And to me, it was more like, let me just go onto the field and release my self-esteem.
My aggression yeah. on the field. See, what's interesting for me is I have one brother, an older brother, and we knew from like third grade he was either going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Like he was just crazy smart. You know, my brother Steve was like skipping grades, and I think they would have skipped him more other than the social part where, you know, he would have been 2 years younger than other kids, where my mother used to have to pay me to read books. My great aunt used to have to pay me to do stuff. That was the only thing that I could relate to because school just wasn't my thing. If I had to do anything over in my life, anything, and I talk about this all the time, I love my life. I love where I'm at. I love my family. I love what I've created and what I've built. But the one thing that I kind of feel empty about is not taking school more seriously, not finishing school to potentially give myself different opportunities. Again, I wouldn't trade anything for the world, but like it's the one thing in my life that I kind of feel like is incomplete, and that bothers me, right? Here I am, I'm pushing these kids to get better every day, to take this seriously. One of my favorite stories is Tracy is pregnant with Jordan. We're out to dinner. She looks at me and she says, honey, I love everything about you, but can we not talk to our children about what you did academically? Let me handle the academics. You handle everything else. And it made so much sense to me. And it was perfect because my kids ended up going to schools I could only dream of going to academically because, I didn't take it seriously. So you go to school for one semester. Then what?
Then I picked up rugby. So when I was in high school, my senior year, we made it to state champions. We were the only team to go undefeated. And this is for football. Football. I played defensive end. I was probably one of the best tacklers on the team.
Defensive end, you're not that big a guy, dude.
No, I actually been.
I mean,
the
you
same
were tough.
Size.
You're tough.
Tough.
But you're not what I would think of as a lineman.
Absolutely.
You look like a linebacker.
The guys that I competed against, they were a little bit bigger, but I just like to hit people. So that was my aggression. And so we made it to state championships. We lost by 4 points. So we're like, all right, what now? So we decided, as half of the football team decided to play rugby. So that's when I learned about rugby. We played rugby. We made it national for Greenwich High School. We made it to the national tournament in California. I had a blast. So I'm like, where has this sport been my whole life? So I'm like, went to college, left college, decided to get back into work and just work out every single day for 3 hours a day. Just trying to get big as hell. And
for rugby,
just for myself.
For yourself. Okay.
And one of the guys I used to play high school football with, I stumbled across him in the gym. He said, hey, D, what you doing? You look like you're in shape. I said, I'm just working out, working on the garbage route. He said, why don't you come play rugby? I'm like, where? He's like, we got a D1's men league, and it's very competitive. And, you know, they're talking about potentially creating an Olympic team. I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. So went to practice, and I'm like, oh, shit, man. Like, this is what I've been looking for. I need something to keep, you know, other than just going to the gym.
So you could keep hitting people.
Exactly. So then
– without getting in trouble.
Exactly. So then I got a hobby. So now I have a hobby. I played rugby for about, let's say, 5 years. 5-7 years I played rugby. But because I didn't have knowledge of training, I was just training myself, doing what I thought was the right thing. I was hurting myself. I was injured almost every single week, shoulder injury, lower back injury, hip injury.
Because people don't understand rugby is football without pads.
Yeah.
I mean, it's controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Right? And people are just hitting people all game long.
All game long. 90 minutes nonstop. And I played the full game. I didn't get subbed out. And it's 90 minutes nonstop. You're running the ball or you're tackling somebody.
It's crazy.
So wow. You have to be extremely fit,
right?
Which I was. I was extremely fit. I was so fit that some of the players on my team wanted to work out with me. They're like, D, what do you do? Because you have no gas tank. And I said, well, I just work out. I do cardio. I do intervals.
How old are you at this point, D?
I'm 36.
No.
Oh, at this point, when you're playing rugby. At that point, I was 22.
Okay.
22. Okay. And so I started training myself. I was training myself well, but I was just getting hurt all the time. So I got hurt really bad at one point where I couldn't walk for 6 months. And I thought it was just two bad hip flexor strains. I went to the doctor. I saw about 3-4 doctors. They did CAT scans. They did MRIs. They couldn't find anything. And so keep in mind, I'm working full-time job on a garbage route, driving a garbage truck, picking up over 50 pounds of garbage every single day from 3:30 a.m. till about 2 o'clock. After that.
Not 50 pounds a day, 50 pounds per stop.
Per stop.
All day.
All day.
Go ahead.
All day.
Go ahead.
After, go to the gym for 2 hours, and then sometimes I'll have practice that night. So I was really wearing my body down, not knowing it, just thinking, hey, this is what you got to do. Like, just do it. So ended up getting really badly injured. Couldn't walk for 6 months.
What were you diagnosed with?
Wasn't diagnosed. So I just gave myself a diagnosis of hip flexor strain. So after the doctors couldn't really give me an answer, I just said, all right, let me just go look for physical therapy. Went to about 2-3 different practices, and I didn't like it because I was just like filtered into a group of people. Nobody was really watching me. I'm like, I could do this stuff on my own. Finally came across this one physical therapist where I was able to see her one-on-one, and she helped me out. She was like, oh my God, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're overtraining. I'm like, that could make sense, but I didn't know what she meant. She goes, you're overtraining, and we were doing this inside this facility where they were training baseball players. And then as she was working on me, she was watching the trainers there work out with guys, and she was so fascinated about how they were training their clients. And I'm like, what's so fascinating about this? She's like, oh, the way that they prime the body for the next movement and then cool them down for the final movement, it just makes the movement so much better and more effective while they're training. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? So then I went home. I started researching. Started reading. I'm like, wow, this is some interesting stuff. I wish I knew about this.
So this is really where your journey begins as Coach D.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So I'm like, damn, I wish I knew about this. So I started reading. I started learning what she was teaching me, and then I started implementing some of that stuff with my own training. So then I said to myself, I want to be legit in this. I'm already training people.
They're your friends. My friends,
and my teammates.
Right.
Literally, I have about 15 guys going to White Plains High School to do shuttle runs with me, picking up a 180-pound sandbag, and I don't know what I'm doing. But they're following me because
– you're in shape.
I'm in shape.
Right.
So started reading, started learning about it, and I talked to the physical therapist. I asked her, I said, hey, like, I want to get involved into what they're doing. So she kind of, like, gave me some guidance, like, this is what their background is. So I couldn't get that background because I didn't go to school. So I said, all right, well, let me do what I can. Got certified through NASM, National Sports Medicine Academy. And I started working with clients one-on-one and started taking some of that and implementing in with what I trained at my rugby team with. So then I had a great idea. Since I was going there for physical therapy, I said, hey, I wonder if this facility would let me volunteer here. I don't want to work here. I just want to volunteer so I can learn from the strength coaches here. Because they all had bachelor degrees, master's degrees. And I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty high up in the field. So they have to know what they're talking about. And so I said, let me send them my resume. Of course, they ignored it because I didn't have the credentials. So the next time I went there for physical therapy, I went up to the head trainer and I said, hey, listen, I sent you a resume. I know you guys probably didn't even look at it because I don't have the credentials, but I don't want to work here. I just want to shadow you guys. Can I do that? And they're like, sure, no problem. I said, listen, I could come here between these hours and I'll be here every single day. And they're like, all right, that's cool. So to them, it's like free work. So I went there, I cleaned the gym, I shadowed, and I learned for about 6 months.
they specialized in baseball and softball, or specifically baseball?
Specifically baseball, but they had other athletes there.
Okay. Okay.
Majority of it was baseball. It was a former head coach of the Yankees, Jim. So a lot of the people that showed up were some minor leaguers, some pros showed up there, major leaguers, and then a lot of high school, college kids would go there for training, mainly baseball, but there were swimmers, lacrosse players.
See, this is great for me because I get to hear this truly for the first time. So it was out of you being broken for 6 months, to basically say, I can't live like this, something's wrong. I gotta figure this out. So it was that really set you on the path now for your life.
Yeah, and I wanna put this in perspective.
Go ahead.
For you. My stepfather, he owned this garbage company. He really wanted me to get a college education in business, and I didn't really want that for myself, so I decided to work for him in the mornings, and he didn't support my rugby career because he said, oh, you're going to get hurt. So the moment I got hurt where I couldn't walk for 6 months, I couldn't tell him. I had to work on the truck by myself, limping to each stop just so he doesn't know.
I told you so.
In pain every day.
It would have been I told you so.
Would have been I told you so. So didn't tell him. And then after, from work, 2 o'clock, I would go to this gym, volunteer till about 8 o'clock at night for free for 6 months, just so I could learn how to train people.
So you did that for 6 months, and through this process, at what point do you say to yourself, will you start to think about a future in this as I'm going to do this for a living? Because I've learned how to help myself. I've learned how to help my friends. I can help everybody else. Is that starting to kind of sink in a little bit?
So throughout the 6 months of me shadowing, I start to meet a lot of people there. And it was funny because there was a point after about a few months go by, some of the clients there, they were like, oh, I want Coach Demetrius to train me. And they were like, but he doesn't work here. And they're like, what you mean? He's here every day. It's like, nah, he doesn't work here. And it became a point where I was getting requests every single day. So they said to themselves, they were like, all right, well, he might not have the credentials, but he definitely has the knowledge now. And people like him, and he's helping a lot of people out. So let's just hire him. So they hired me. And then I said to myself, I'm like, all right, this is something that I could really do. And I was really passionate about it because I was meeting a lot of high school kids that didn't have direction. And I was like, I used to be there. I was literally there not too long ago. Let me help these kids become better athletes, perform at an optimal level so they could play as long as possible.
But better athletes, better young men and women. And unlike you, who you basically admitted that you didn't have direction and you had nobody to kind of point you in that direction. So you kind of stepped in to help them with that as well. So now it's not just, right, it's not just, you know, a strength coach. You've become a mentor to a lot of these young kids.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny you say that because I get asked often, what is it for me as a strength coach? What do I like the most about being a strength coach for young athletes? And my answer would be seeing what they become when they get older.
When I first met you, really what intrigued me about you was you had no baseball background. You had no softball background. But yet you didn't fear that, right? Similar to your injury, you were going to do the research. You're going to learn about what you needed to do to be successful in this sport. Over the last 10 years, you have trained swimmers, Olympians, tennis pros. I mean, USTA tennis pros, football players, rugby players, youth, high school, college, pro, middle-aged athletes and aging athletes. What do you need to do differently for each of those group sets to prepare them for what's ahead of them?
So it all comes down to, one, their goals, right? What they're doing on a regular basis. And I have a simple process that I follow, and then I could tailor it to the individual based off of what I see. I feel like part of one of my talents is I'm very intuitive, and I pay attention, really close attention to detail. So when I customize programs for people, I make sure that we target movement first.
So when you customize, that's one of the things for me that is probably most important about what you do. You're not going to take the easy way out here. This is not cookie cutter where you're showing up for a boot camp class and we're going station to station.
Exactly.
Every athlete is a different athlete. Every athlete, never mind their goals yet, but every athlete has a different amount of athleticism. Or they're not a baseball player, they're a pickleball player. Or they're not a pickleball player, you know, they're a tennis player, or, you know, they're a runner, or they're a bicyclist. So your preparation then has to be different, never mind their goals yet, for what their target muscle groups are to be able to do what they do successfully.
Exactly.
That's the stuff that gets me so hyped up, because we train kids as young as 11 and 12 years old here, and you're treating those 11 and 12-year-olds no different than you would train a collegiate Division I baseball player. Why did you decide to do it that way? We know it's the right way, but not everybody does it that way.
Because I believe everybody learns differently. They move differently. Their bodies are different. And the biggest thing is that they learn differently. So you have to understand how they learn in order to teach. So there's no room for a cookie cutter workout, right? If I have a group of people, and I've done boot camp classes, they're fun. But if you really want to get results specifically for you, for your goals, you need something that you can adapt to, that you can understand. And I think for me, the biggest reason why I gained a passion in this is, you know, I was in high school, I was just a big kid, 185 pounds as a freshman. I ran like a 5'3", but I would make tackles. I played college, I was probably one of the slowest. There was linemen faster than me. I didn't get fast until I learned about training, and then I learned how to apply shin angles and stuff. Like I understood what that meant. So that was a big, you know, light bulb for me, was like, wow, just by understanding that, I got faster. So that means younger kids, they just need to understand.
They need to understand how their bodies work, how their bodies move. So, you know, you talk a lot about functional movement, body awareness, core stability. I think those are things that are important regardless of age, but not a lot of people understand what you're talking about, right? Because it's very easy to just sign up for a class, right? People go to, you know, New York Sports Club or you know, Lifetime, but at Game On Strength, every individual has a handwritten program that you update monthly.
Monthly.
All right, talk about that.
So I start all of my athletes out with an evaluation. Evaluation consists of three separate tests. The first test is a functional movement screen where we assess the kinetic chain. And the kinetic chain is basically how well the muscles and joints work together, right? Important for athletes. So I start from the floor up, ankles, knees, hips, spine, and I assess to see if there's any imbalances, anywhere that may hinder a movement pattern, which can relate to lack of power output, lack of speed, you know, anything that could relate to that. So when you start from the ground up, the ground, your ankles are very important, right? That's what keeps you balanced and stable. So the reason why I do this screening is I could see what areas we need to work on. Then after that, I go into a performance test that I do on the floor, which where I assess broad jump, lateral balance to see how much force you can actually apply to the ground and translate it to an athletic movement, right? Following that, my third test is a Proteus test, which is a pretty cool machine we just got here a couple years ago. And with that machine, I could get live data metrics on power output and wattage and speed in meters per second.
So literally, what's cool about that is, especially in 2024, right? You talk to athletes, you talk to athletes' parents. Visually, it used to be, well, I want to see improvement. Visually, I want to see it. But something like Proteus, it'll tell you.
Exactly.
Right? Your power outage, your wattage and your speed. It's going to show you literally every time you test if I've stayed flatline or if I'm, you know, just getting better. So you test every one of the athletes on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis, or not necessarily always a monthly basis. It could be a phase basis. So let me explain. A phase can be foundation phase, off-season phase, or preseason phase, in-season phase. The reason why I do it based off of phase is if you're a new athlete here, you almost always go through a foundational phase. That's where we correct your movement pattern. So like Proteus, I create a point system to my screening so that once we retest, that's where you can see the results. You'll see your score the first time you come in. Then the next time we test, you'll see how that score has improved. And then you'll get a better, a full description on what areas are causing that score to go down. So after the foundational phase, I may take an athlete, depending on what I find, through a functional strength phase. Now, with that phase, with any phase that I take them through, there's a goal. There always has to be a goal for training. So I take them through that phase. Once I completed that phase, then we retest to see the benefits of that. So, for example, during the off season, a lot of my athletes, we go through a maximum strength phase. So before we test our maxes and all of our major lifts like squat, deadlift, I don't do bench press with my baseball players. I do a dumbbell chest press, and then I do pull-ups. So we'll test all four of those categories, maximum weight. And if you can reach maximum weight with some of those categories, we'd go for repetitions. After they've completed that phase, so we went through the off-season. Let's say they started the off-season with me for 3 months. 3 months later, we retest our maxes, and then we see how much we've gained. And with that strategy, on average, I've seen my athletes gain over 100 pounds in each lift.
Which is insane. Which is just insane. If they buy into this, you know, I know as a coach, one of my biggest frustrations in people in the gym is they're in school 9.5 months a year, which means they get homework and they're testing. A lot of athletes only work out in the off season. And that's tough for baseball, softball, right? Because they're basically off from November 1st till March 10th. That gives them like 3.5 months to be in the gym hard, 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week. But they don't understand that the off season, or the off season for the gym, but in season is twice as long as their off season. And the maintenance part of doing all of those movements is more important in season, not necessarily maxing out, not necessarily, you know, going for PRs and building strength, but maintaining the strength that they've put on for the last 3.5, 4 months. Because if they don't, if they just walk away, well, then when you get them in November, they've now lost weight, they've lost strength, and it's like they're starting from zero.
Starting all over.
Is that also like one of your biggest frustrations?
And you know what, Eric? It's funny you say that, because that's the thing that separates elite athletes from the regular athlete. You want to be an elite athlete, you have to train during season, especially for baseball. You know, very different from football, what I'm used to. You only play in the wintertime. Then you have the full rest of the year to get bigger, faster, and stronger, and then you're playing, right? For baseball, 8 months, you're technically in season if you're playing summer, fall, spring. So what people don't understand is sports are high demand, they're high risk for injury, and they take a toll on your body. So yeah, that's very frustrating for me, especially when I have some kids that have great athletic potential and they work hard off season and then they just stop during the season. They're always coming back to me saying, oh, I feel so weak, I'm hurt, I'm this, I'm tired.
Well, okay, so you just said I'm hurt. For me, I wish I was this smart when I was younger. I wasn't. But for me, I'm working out all year round. I am doing lighter weight, more reps to stay in shape and keep what I've done in the winter, because I can't play either, right? I can't do what I've been doing. It brings me to my next piece with you, D. Nutrition, recovery, so what you put in your body, and a proper amount of sleep.
Exactly.
Talk about it.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the most important thing.
When did you start to really take nutrition? Because you're as serious and about this as anyone I've ever seen. I mean, you're meal prepping, you're cooking, you know, you're now a father. So, you know, obviously, you know, you got a whole ton of things going on in your life, but you still make it a point to do those things because you don't want to fall off the rails with your journey.
As I was getting into the field, I ended up going to get my holistic health coaching degree through Integrative Institute of Nutrition. That's where I learned a lot about nutrition, and I learned about the effects of it and how, you know, you can literally change your body or how you think. Your mentality can actually change based off of how you eat and how you take care of yourself. So I went through that institute. I think it took me about 6 months to do, and I started applying that stuff to my routine. And I said to myself, oh my God, I feel like a different person, so much more energy. I'm recovering a lot faster. I'm able to do more. I've learned that that is the most important part to overall health and even getting stronger.
Is it the basic stuff that we know, but we just don't pay attention to, basic, like sugars and artificial sugars and soda? And I know you're constantly eating protein, right? You're a big protein guy. At what age should these kids start really looking at what they're consuming? And or, again, I probably should correct myself there. No 12-year-old is in charge of what he's putting or she is putting into her body. When should parents really start regulating what their athletes are consuming?
I think they should start right away. I mean, part of this is creating a lifestyle, right? Kids are young. Young kids develop. They develop and they learn. Everything is learned behavior, right? So what you teach them at a young age, they'll carry that with them as they get older. So implementing to them eating whole foods, good carbohydrates, good proteins, those are all very important. Good carbohydrates, not eating foods that are come in a bag. You know, whole foods like fruits and vegetables. Protein, very important. Them understanding that, oh, instead of drinking two bottles of Gatorade.
So I was just going to say. So my 9-year-old son has a doubleheader. I shouldn't be bringing him a box of Munchkins and a 2-liter Coke.
No, you should bring him some watermelon or some fruit, because that's going to hydrate them more, right? They need those carbs for energy. Carbohydrate is your number one source of energy. Then fat, that's your secondary. Protein's your final, right? If you're starving yourself, if you're not hydrating enough, just drinking water is not going to hydrate you, so you're going to crave other things. Fruit, great source of hydration, right? Coconut water, stuff like that, that's going to allow them the energy to keep playing, and it's going to hydrate their muscles so they don't cramp up and they're able to, you know, have a lot more energy throughout those tournaments.
You've told me over the years, which is the only reason I even know this, that what you eat can also kind of dictate joint pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Speak about that a little bit.
Because there's foods that you could literally put into your body that causes inflammation. And as you get older, you know, that could take a toll on your joints. And if you already have joint pain or injuries, that could enhance those injuries.
What are some of those things that middle-aged people should stay away from?
Anything that you do not cook, okay? Any processed foods will create inflammation. Any heavy starch foods will create inflammation.
So basically the stuff we love, bread, pasta, like stay away from that.
Gluten is the number one, but, you know, I'm not one of those gluten-free type of
Trying, and sometimes, you know, I've been real good. I've been trying to cut back to bread and pasta once a week. You know, for me, it's Sunday. Not always easy, man. You know, I'm home some nights.
Cookies.
Cookies are my weakness. Everybody that knows me knows that I am the cookie monster, man. But that's sugar.
Yeah.
And again, swelling and inflammation. So you get a guy like me who, you know, is telling you, self-admittedly, I want to eat cookies. What are you telling me to do at night when I have that sweet tooth? What should I be looking for?
I feel like the first thing I would tell you if I'm really going to assess you, I would tell you to write down a food log. Write down a food log of what you eat on a regular basis. That way you can see for yourself where you're going wrong, and then I would sit there and I would assess it. Instead of going for a cookie at night, just go to sleep. Drink some water. Don't stay up so late. Eat your meal at a reasonable time. Make sure you have a balanced meal that hits your cravings. If one of your cravings is sweetness, then go towards more good carbohydrates that target the sweetness.
I don't mean to be that guy. I can't accept that. I eat my dinner at 6 o'clock. But by 8 o'clock, man, I got like a sweet tooth or something. You tell me, like, I can't have like one piece of Hershey's chocolate before I go to bed, man. I can't have a couple of scoops of ice cream before I go to bed. How bad is that for me is what I want to know. I know you've gotten me out of, this is not great to say, but I drink a ton of coffee. So now I've been limiting myself to 2 cups in the morning and then water. You've been pushing me on water for years, and I've been trying to get better at that. I can't give up that sugar. What can I do instead?
I would say eat a banana.
Okay.
Eat a banana.
Can I put peanut butter on a banana?
You could put a peanut butter on a banana.
Okay.
And I honestly, if you eat something like that or have a protein shake.
Okay.
A protein shake before bed is good. It'll help your metabolism as you sleep, and then you might wake up with more energy.
Okay. Okay.
But I think the biggest issue with that craving is you have to allow your body to detox, and then that craving would eventually go away.
My frustration personally is, like you, not having a mentor to push you with athletics and school, I didn't really have anybody to teach me about this stuff. So growing up, it was just kind of like, okay, I worked hard today, I'm going to eat what I want. My favorite thing in the Bronx growing up was a suitcase of White Castles, man. You know, and now.
Which I hate, by the way.
I know. And most people do. But that was the norm. Like, we didn't know that eating the meat was okay, but then the bread broke down into sugar, and then what sugar does to you. I admire that you switch directions for every type of athlete that comes in here. One of the things that I think is incredibly special about you, you're not just some trainer. I watch you. I've watched you over the years. You become part of people's lives. Your people that you train, it's not an athlete. It may be an entire family. And then you're invited to weddings and parties and bar mitzvahs and shows. Teresa came to you when she was a little girl, and she is graduating this year for the U.S. Navy. She has kicked ass 4 years in a row at the U.S. Navy, and she's going to go on and do great things. But because she's gone and she's in the Navy, your relationship is there. Right? You get, how much of that do you really understand, that it's not just a coach yelling at kids to, you know, do a couple more reps or to do something right, that you're really having this tremendous impact on people?
Like I said to you before, that's one of the things that keep me into this, allows me to keep doing this with the passion that I have is because I've had kids that, like Teresa, I've trained her since she was 11 years old. I have kids that I've trained since they were 8 years old, and I've watched them grow up, develop, go to college, and now become professionals. And to be a part of that growth is huge because, you know, you see the develop as a human being, right? As them as a person, right? She's going to go on to be
special.
Special.
No matter what she does.
Yeah. So.
And my son as well.
Yeah.
Your son. You started training my son at 15 years old. You're going to be 25 this year, man.
Yep. So, I mean, I just understand that kids or people in general, you know, you have to get to a level of understanding. It's a relationship that I create with them. And I think part of it is because it's the passion that I have. You know, it's the passion that I have for them. I truly want to see these athletes, or if they're not athletes, I want them to reach the level of person that they want to be.
You want them to be the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. And that goes back to something I talk about all the time. And to the audience, I apologize because I know I say this all the time. You can't fake love. You can't fake passion. You can't fake being good at something and caring about people's well-being. Demetrius, that for me is kind of what separates you from just some random guy. And, you know, I look forward to continuing to grow with you as you're a lot younger than me. I was going to say, as we go forward in our journeys together, I just want to say thank you for being here today, man. This was great to spend some time and talking about, you know, your passion and your journey. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here today on 90 Feet Away. Look forward to seeing you every time. This one was a little bit different. We're normally talking about baseball, softball. Coach D brings a tremendous passion to what he does every day. If you like this, go out, tell your friends, subscribe to 90feetawaypodcast.com. And this episode was brought to you by Moving Pictures LLC. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.